Hey, church, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of our services today. What a great day it's been already. What a blessing it is to be able to not only have Bible class this morning, but to be able to participate in this worship, to have visitors with us, to have those who have been sick back home, those who have lost loved ones even, be able to be with us today. What a blessing it is to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. We have turned the page. Believe it or not, we are in the last month of 2024. That's hard to fathom, I know, but here we are. And as we turn the page from November to December, it enters into a time where you have just been bombarded with Christmas music. There's no doubt about it. Wherever you have gone, you have probably heard. I think you can actually turn on a channel on the radio and hear it 24/7 if you so desire. Well, what I have decided to do is take from that selection of songs the sermons prior to Christmas Day, and we will look at a song and base it on God's holy word. Just a way to help embark on this journey to be able to remember what most folks are going to be thinking about this time of year, and that is Jesus Christ. I can't think of a time where it's bad to think about Jesus Christ, can you? It's always good to think about Jesus. The song that I have chosen for this morning, and I will hopefully, as we go through this sermon series, I will unfold the steps it takes to get through the life of Jesus Christ, at least while he was on this earth, and even before that. But the song that I chose is a song entitled, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" This song was written in October of 1962. The lyrics were written by Noel Regney, and the music was written by Gloria Shane. The pair, they were married at the time. They wrote it as a plea for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Regney had been invited by a record producer to write a Christmas song, but he was hesitant due to the commercialization of Christmas. That song has gone on to sell tens of millions of copies, and it's been covered by hundreds of artists. Bing Crosby made the song into a hit when he recorded his own version of it on October 21st, 1963. The record being released as a single on October 26th. Crosby also performed the song on a Bob Hope Christmas television special on December 13th of that year. Over the years, Crosby's recording of the song has been widely played on the radio, and it's been available on numerous Christmas albums. Going back to the lyric writer, Regney, he was inspired to write the lyrics, "Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? And pray for peace, people everywhere." He wrote those lyrics again, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when there was uneasiness everywhere, and any day was there going to be a threat of war or a potential strike of war. He was sitting there, Regney was, observing babies being pushed in strollers on the sidewalks. And he was in New York City. He wrote those lyrics as a plea for peace and a prayer for hope. You know, we still need hope. We still need peace. And as we gather around and we remember Jesus Christ, He is that hope and He is that peace. But it was a time in our life and still a time in our life when there has been war. War from the world, war from the evil one, war from sin. But the good news is that war has been overcome. Jesus Christ stands victorious over the war of evil, over the war of sin. The scripture that was read to us this morning by my buddy Dawson Talbot. By the way, Dawson's very first time to read scripture publicly in the assembly like that. He's read it a few times with Leaders of Light, and I'm sure with his mom and dad at home. But he did a great job, as Bill said. He read to us from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Do you hear what I hear? When I think of that song, and I think of making it in correlation to what we're talking about today, and that's the call of Jesus, the cry of Jesus, the cry for the need of Jesus, I can't help but think that God probably said to His host or His council as He met there together, do you all hear what I hear? You see, what did God hear? Well, God heard a bunch of cries. Throughout time, God has heard the cry of His people. Throughout time, as Eve fell, as Adam fell, as they fell in the days of Noah, as they fell in the days of Babel, as they continued to fall even when they became a great nation, all throughout history, all throughout time, God's people have cried out. They've cried out, we need You, God. Where are You, God? In fact, in Romans 8, verse 22, we know that ever since the fall of man, creation groaned under the curse of sin. Here's Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Cries. Crying out from the ground. Crying out from creation. Cain's murder. Back in Genesis 4, his murder of his brother Abel, it brought blood crying from the ground. Genesis 4:10, and the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. The wickedness of the world, again, reached a peak in Noah's time. And God's heart was grieved. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was evil only continually. And the Lord regretted that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him in His heart. Do you hear what I hear? God heard those cries. He heard those groans. He heard that blood. In Exodus, when His people were in Egyptian slavery, Egyptian bondage, He heard the groaning and the cries of His people. Exodus 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of My people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. You know what everyone was crying out for and maybe not even realized it? They were crying out for a Savior. They were crying out for peace. They were crying out for joy. They were crying out for comfort. All of those things came ultimately through our Savior Jesus Christ. God heard cries. The Israelites longed for deliverance. They were crying out under the oppression of Egypt, under the oppression of Babylon, and even later under the oppression of Rome. The Psalms are filled with laments, asking God as such in Psalm 13:1, how long, O Lord? Prophets like Isaiah
proclaims a need for a Redeemer who would bring hope, who would bring healing, who would bring peace to a broken world. Today, maybe you can relate. Maybe you are here in December and this month is a dread for you. You know, there are a lot in this room that it's an exciting time. You know, it's the mentality of this is great, this is joyful, I can't wait, I'm excited, it's going to be so much fun. My family will be together, we'll be giving gifts, we'll be having a good time. It'll all be a celebration. But then there are those in this room today that are crying out because it's a tough month. It's a month of sadness, it's a month of hurt, it's a month of pain, it's a month of struggle. And so wherever we are in this, let's be patient with one another. But it doesn't change the fact that whatever side of the street that we're on when it comes to this month, we all still need a Savior. We all still cry out for God to help us. And if today your cries are, I need to get through this, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, or how long, O Lord, I want you to know that God heard the cries of those in the Old Testament, and He still hears your cries today. You see, what those cries led God to do was tell His people about the coming one. I'm amazed at the prophecies of Jesus Christ. And those prophecies are throughout the Bible. They all point to the answer. They all point to the solution. And that solution is Jesus Christ. God's plan was put in motion when sin entered into His earthly family. You see, earthly family began with Adam and Eve. God is the creator of family. He brought Adam together, He brought Eve together, and He married them. And Satan has tried to get in and destroy that family and that love and that bond ever since. And sometimes he's had great success, and possibly even with some of you in this room. But way back in the beginning, God had a plan. He knew that ultimately man would fall. Did He desire for man to fall? Did He ordain that man would fall? No, that wasn't His plan at all. His plan was to bring Eden to the world. That's what He told Adam and Eve to do. Be fruitful and multiply. Spread this paradise throughout the earth. But it didn't take long for that to be fouled up. You see, God didn't come up with a plan when man fouled it up. He's had a plan all along. He knew eventually that His people would cry out. He knew eventually that He would have to say, metaphorically, to those in His presence, to those in His counsel, do you hear what I hear? When sin entered into God's earthly family, what He understood then was His scheme of redemption went into motion. And so from that point forward, He started pointing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus is on every page of your Bible. It all points to Him. It's a puzzle that all comes together perfectly to bring peace to the world, to dry the eyes of those who are crying. Genesis 3:15, the promise of the seed of the woman crushing the serpent's head was what we call the first messianic prophecy. In Genesis 3:15, way back in the beginning, right after the fall of man, we see that Jesus Christ is going to come and He's going to crush the head of evil. In Genesis 12, verse 3, God revealed His plan through Abraham. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The prophecy of Isaiah 7 in verse 14, foretells of a virgin giving birth to a son, and His name will be Emmanuel. You know what that meant again? That God will dwell with us. Think about that. In Genesis chapter 3, when man is in the Garden of Eden, before man falls, God walked with them. God has always wanted to dwell with you, and He's always wanted to dwell with me. The ultimate way that He was able to do that was to bring Jesus to this earth. He's God in the flesh. God dwelt among man. And as long as we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ today, we will dwell with God. Micah 5 verse 2, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 53, He would suffer and bear the sins of the world. Psalm 22, His crucifixion was described in vivid detail centuries before it happened. Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14, this Jesus, this Messiah, the one who's chosen that would answer the cries of the people, He would establish an eternal kingdom that we know as the church today. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're going to read it together. It's kind of a long reading. It's verses 1 through 21. It's one of the, Terry's opinion, most powerful sections of Scripture in all the Bible. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is written chronologically. That means everything that happens in Luke is the way that it happened in Jesus, in the way it unfolded is in chronological order. So you got to understand, to get to the point I want to make with this, you've got to see the very first part of this. Jesus is about to be tempted by Satan. And because of that temptation, He's getting ready, right, to begin this public ministry. Beginning in verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, He returned from the Jordan. You know what happened at the Jordan, right? He was baptized. And He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And He ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, He was hungry. The devil said to Him, "If You are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And He said to Him, "To You I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to Me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then," Satan to Jesus now, "if you then will worship Me, all, as we know it, these kingdoms will be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." And He took Him to Jerusalem and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If You are the Son of God, throw Yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So there it is, right? Chronologically now, Jesus has been baptized in the Jordan by John. He's been led into the wilderness, and He's tempted by Satan. Three of those temptations we know specifically. There may have been 40 days of them, for all I know. But He's tempted by Satan. Satan leaves Him. So what happens next? Verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about Him went out through all the surrounding country. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, see the scene now. The report, the news has gone out about this man, who many think is the Messiah. Now, you have to understand, those who knew about the Messiah were the Jews. They've been talking about this since the days of Isaiah and the other prophets. They've been crying about this since early on in the book of Genesis, before they were even a nation, they were crying about this, and they heard their ancestors talk about crying about this when they were in slavery in Egypt. And God, through the prophets, had said, He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. Jesus Christ now has been baptized. He's been tempted by Satan, and word is spreading. So the Messiah is going into the synagogues, and He's teaching. And they all love Him. And they're all glorifying Him. But then He decides to go home. And He came to Nazareth, verse 16, where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. You'll recognize this from what Joseph read to us a moment ago. He opened, as we know it, He unrolled the scroll of Isaiah chapter 61. And here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus, as we know Him, stood up in the synagogue in His hometown, and He read from Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3. And you know what He did after that? He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. I guess they were. They recognized what He had just read. They recognized in Isaiah 61, it was a cry from the people, and God, through Isaiah, said, He's coming. The one who will deliver you is coming. The one to proclaim the good news is coming. The one to bring liberty is coming. The one to open your eyes is coming. And in verse 21, He began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That sends chills up my body. Jesus Christ, the one they've been crying for, He opens up to a scripture that they're all familiar with. And He says, the one that Isaiah was talking about, it is me. You see, their cries had brought Jesus. So there's a message for us that we've got to hear through all this today. God has love for those who are broken. John 3:16 is the most quoted verse, I would assume, in the entire world. In fact, you could go up to someone who doesn't go to church, who doesn't read their Bibles, and you could typically say, what does John 3:16 say? And they would get most of it right, I would imagine. Now, I doubt they know who it was said to or the context that it was said in. But they realize that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten or unique Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You go on to read the next verse, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The gift of Jesus is God's answer to our deepest need. Reconciliation. What Adam brought into this world, Christ brought the solution. Adam brought sin. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, brought life. Adam brought tears. Jesus brought solution. Adam brought death. Jesus brought hope. The question has to be today, do you hear what I hear? Do we still hear the message of God's love, and do we still respond to it with faith and obedience? You see, there's still a call for us to share the good news. Just as the angels proclaim Christ's birth to the shepherds in Luke 2:10 and 11, we are called to proclaim Him to others. Romans 10:14 and 15, and how are they to believe in one they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim Him? Can you imagine being given the greatest cure in the world? Maybe that's for cancer. Maybe let's just go with that. It's cancer, and you've been given the cure, guaranteed to work. Would you keep that to yourself, or would you go on every media outlet you could and say, I have the cure for cancer? I'm going to guess you wouldn't keep that to yourself. Folks, I don't have the cure for cancer, but I've got the cure for hurt. I've got the cure for war. I've got the cure for hell. And His name is Jesus Christ. People are crying out for Him today. Do you hear it? Do we hear it? And are we sharing Him with others? Can we still hear God's voice today? Hebrews 3:15, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. How's your heart today? Is your heart hard? Then I'm guessing you don't hear His voice. God still speaks today. Oh, He doesn't call us up and talk to us, but we have His Word. We have His Spirit. We have answered prayer. We have His people. Do we hear the cries? Do we hear the solution? You see, God heard the cries of His people. You can turn that off. God heard the cries of His people, and He sent Jesus as the ultimate response. That response was to sin. That response was to suffering. That response was to death. In Revelation 21, 1 through 4, the last section we'll turn to today, the people, God's people, the church, in Revelation, they were under fire. You see, they're also the ones who had, their ancestors had cried out for a Messiah. And God heard those prayers, and He delivered that message, and then He delivered Jesus right there in the synagogue before them. Now, a lot of them rejected Him, so He turned to the Gentiles, and they were grafted in, and thanks be to God, that's us today. But in Revelation, the church was struggling. You see, there'd been a great revival, now there's a great persecution. And people are scattering, and people are hiding, and people are being put to death. And so God heard those cries again, and so He revealed Himself to John on the island of Patmos. And He told them in Revelation, be an overcomer. Just be an overcomer. He said, because, John, I'm going to give you this seen. And we know it as Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Do you hear that message today? Listen, this earth gives us a lot of heartache because Satan is still roaming this earth. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of sin. And some of that, or all of that, or a combination of it, may have come to your door. And you may have let it right in. Today, my question to you, if you're hurting, if you're struggling, if you're crying, do you hear the message today? God heard the message, and God delivered the solution. Will you hear His voice today? Will you be His voice in a world that is still crying out? We must all, individually and collectively, rejoice and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the peace. He is the solution. Today, have you accepted the free gift of Jesus Christ? You see, it is the gift-giving season. We said John 3:16 earlier, for God gave, right? He gave the world the greatest gift. All you have to do now is accept the gift. And you know what will happen when you accept the gift? He will dry your eyes. He will heal your pain. He will comfort you in a time of need. But you need to walk this aisle. Be immersed in water. Allow God to put you in the blood of Jesus. Come up out of the water and walk brand new. Jesus will dwell with you. He will live with you. And you will live with Him. Today, hear the message. Today, allow Him to dry the pain, the hurt, and the tears. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.